Different eras bring about different wars involving American troops, all with one thing in common. Our members of the military, each and every time, present themselves as living examples of honor, patriotism, and loyalty. Another fact of war throughout history is that soldiers are injured and military lives are lost, yet there's always a new generation who's dedicated to country as well as cause. My next guest on our Memorial Day special led a military company which saw battle in Iraq's most dangerous city. Those days held success as well as the ultimate sacrifice for some. Today, he had Save the Brave, which helps veterans dealing with post-traumatic stress. His book is Echo in Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. Major Scott Husing, thanks for being here today, Scott.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on the program. It's great to be on.
And two websites for you listening, echoandramadi.com is where you can obviously learn more about Scott's book and learn more about the work of Save the Brave and give your support to this important work is savethebrave.org. I mentioned Scott off the air. For a story to really connect, you have to, if you're working with just words instead of film or video, you really have to create the picture and the emotions for people to get into what you're trying to relay and teach. And you certainly have succeeded in that. And one thing, too, is I think you remind people in that field of battle that you were in with Echo Company, the traditional, as they call them, rules of war did not apply with this enemy, did it?
Well, I think that really the story is about the people. It's not just a war story, Chris. It's a story about people that fought during one of the bloodiest periods of modern urban combat in Ramadi. And when people often ask me, you know, well, what's the book about? I say it's really about those lessons of leadership and team building and survival, but it's about the power of human connection and the people that were there. And when we did fight together in 2006 and 2007 during the surge strategy that was ordered by President George W. Bush, we did fight a ruthless, faceless enemy in which the front line was everywhere. But I will say we did fight with rules. There were rules of engagement that we adhered to strictly because that's what makes us different. Our Marines and soldiers fought not only with lethality as they continually attacked the enemy and constantly knocked them back on their heels to win, but they did it with honor. And they did it in a way that made me equally as proud of their actions because those life and death decisions that those young men and women who are normally 18 or 19 years old do, that's a tough thing to do at that age.
Can a strong, focused, dedicated soldier teach their leader? Did you ever experience that?
Absolutely. I think that leadership, you know, in the Marine Corps, how do you train to take another human life? Or how do you train to inspire 250-plus Marines to do what they don't want to do necessarily when they have to do it under those types of dynamic conditions in an asymmetric war where the Marines are not only fighting a well-trained enemy, but also doing it amongst the people. In a city of over 300,000 in Ramadi, that was a sprawling urban mass with the Euphrates River cutting east to west, that was, you know, covered in a layer of gray dust from constantly standing at the barrel of a shotgun, essentially at point blank. The town itself looked rubbled, but we do it through our training and through, you know, continued practice and for sometimes months and sometimes years on end to train for those types of situations where we're thrust into the chasm of war. And the leadership was exhibited not only by me, but everyone in my company at every level, down to the youngest level. And I was equally as fortunate to have some veterans from the first Battle of Ramadi in 2004, some sergeants and corporals that had fought just 2 years before we were thrust back into the city. And when I say experienced, you know, salty, seasoned sergeants, I'm now talking about 21, 22-year-old Marines, just to put things in perspective for the listeners.
Right. We're talking about Major Scott Husing with his book, Echo on Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. Scott also heads Save the Brave, which helps veterans who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. disorder, which that percentage is a lot higher than you would imagine, too. Learn more about Scott's book at EchoArmandi.com and SaveTheBrave.org is his organization's website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Close calls, which you write about in detail, so many of you guys, and yourself included, experienced them throughout your time in Ramadi. They can either fuel you or they can deflate you. How does someone avoid option two?
The deflation of a close call. I like that term. I've never heard that one, close call, although we've experienced plenty of them. It was commonplace. You know, we were fighting street to street, house to house, day in and day out. Sometimes two, three, four, five times a day in direct contact with a well-trained enemy insurgent force. And it was something that we had to deal with. And, you know, we lost Marines, sadly, and we had others wounded as we continued to fight. And then there were others that you luck was on your side that day. And to keep those men inspired and continue to fight is a challenge for every leader, not only a company commander who, at the time, I was 35 years old, but these young sergeants and corporals. How do you do that? How do you continue to inspire these guys? At the onset of the battle, when we were thrust into the city of Ramadi, you know, I had to sit those guys down and look at them in the face, and I ordered them to kill, because killing's not a natural act. I mean, humans create war, and the reason I did that, and it was no original idea. This is experience that I had gained from my mentors and great leaders around me, but I ordered them to kill because I never wanted those warriors to hesitate at that one singular moment when they had to make that life and death decision to slip their finger onto the trigger, look through the scope of the rifle, and take another human life. And when they did it, I wanted them to know that it was my order and it was my responsibility to bear, because when they left the battlefield, I wanted them to leave with a clean heart, knowing that they were doing what Marines do best, and that's follow orders and attack and kill the enemy with unbridled ferocity. We do a lot of things great, but Marines absolutely follow orders. But that was important for me. And as we continue to suffer losses, as we continue to take casualties in the city, I think that, you know, we compartmentalize those pieces of trauma. We pack them away for a little bit, but we continue to fight to not only survive, but to win, to honor those that we lose on the battlefield, knowing that they were doing what they wanted to do. They wanted to serve, and they all loved being Marines. And when we lost Marines, having to make those heart-wrenching phone calls to the parents of my guys, you know, it's just astounding, Chris, to hear the words from the mother of a son who literally hours before you stood next to you and gave his life for you to say, "We love you. We want you to keep fighting," because that's what Dustin would have wanted, Corporal Dustin Libby, who we lost on December 6th. But he's one example, and his mom, Jenny, and Father Judd are just other examples of these extraordinary people in America who we refer to as our Gold Star families. There is really no other word to describe them other than extraordinary.
And I think Jenny Libby, too, just proves that dedication and bravery runs in families sometimes, and proper perspective of duty and country. It doesn't just spark in an individual. It's ingrained by someone who was wise in that person's family, which it sounds like you were able to lead a lot of those individuals who had that wisdom and that dedication imparted upon them, as did you, from what I read about your service to our country as well. Learn more about Scott's book, Echo on Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city, echoinramadi.com. And to become a part through support of his work with his organization, Save the Brave, that helps veterans dealing with post-traumatic stress, SaveTheBrave.org. Scott, you've preserved the stories that teach us of people who probably never thought their story was worth being used as a lesson and as a representation of what service and honor is all about. So in this collective with Echo and Ramadi, you certainly have done that. And with the visuals you paint, you help the civilian understand just how much each and every military person throughout history, not just in your instance, faces, has to overcome and in so many ways survive both during warfare and now with Save the Brave after warfare as well. So thank you so much for doing that, for being here today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Chris. And as we speak on Memorial Day, I think it's appropriate to remember those that made the ultimate sacrifice. And to be able to share their story with everybody, it has been an important part, not only for me, but for the young Marines and the families that support us while we fought and won it, and still do to this day, through that power of human connection and that leadership that I'm honored to still have. Not only did I lead them in Ramadi, but my leadership didn't stop in Ramadi or when I left the military. I'm so honored to be a part of their lives and continue to call myself their leader to this day, and recognize those that we lost and still be there to support the families they left behind. It's an important message.